Today is the 21st of April 2010, Wednesday. And Mark has been wanting to do a study on
Samaria, Samaritan, and the Samaritans.
We have done a study before about the Lady of Samaria. And we remember Christ said, I must needs go to Samaria. And he had an appointment with this lady at Samaria. And he kept his appointment. It was a decree by God before the foundation of the world that this little Samaritan woman, I don't know if she was little or not, be a chosen vessel of God. She was a great sinner. She was a great sinner. Now, the Samaritans are an ethno-religious group of the Levant. Religiously, they are the adherents to Samaritanism, which is an Abrahamic religion closely related to Judaism, based on the Samaritan Torah. Samaritans claim their worship is the true religion of the ancient Israelites prior to the Babylonian Empire, preserved by those who remain in the land of Israel, as opposed to Judaism, which they assert is related but altered and amended religion brought back by the exiled returnees. Like any of the other religions other than Christianity, we find that those try to always take precedence over other religions. Ancestrally, they claim descent from a group of Israelite inhabitants who have had connections to ancient Samaria from the beginning of the Babylonian exile up to the beginning of the Common Era. The Samaritans, however, derive their name not from this geographical designation, but rather from the Hebrew term keepers of the law, which means keepers of the law. In the Talmud, central post-exilic religious text of Judaism, their claim of ancestral origin is disputed. And those texts, they are called Kuthians, allegedly from the ancient city of Kutha, geographically located in what today is known as Iraq. Modern genetics has suggested some truth to both the claims of the Samaritan and Jewish accounts in the Talmud. So just a little background about the Samaritan people. And where are these people? Well, they're in Israel, the West Bank, Holon, Mount Gerizim, and Nablus. And they uphold the Samaritan Torah, called Samaritanism. They speak modern Hebrew and Arabic. And they are, of course, related to the Jews. Although they're not historically a very large community today, they were at one time up to more than a million in late Roman times. But gradually it was reduced to several tens of thousands up to a few centuries ago. And so, according to the tally, as of around 2007, there were about 712 Samaritans living almost exclusively in two locations, one in Kiryat Luza on Mount Gerizim near the city of Nablus in the West Bank, and the other in the Israeli city of Holon. Of course, there are other various backgrounds adhering to the Samaritan traditions of Israel, especially in the United States. With the revival of the Hebrew as spoken language by Jewish immigrants to the pre-state Israel and its growth and officiation following the establishment of the state, most Samaritans today speak modern Hebrew, especially in Israel. Now, we see in the Bible the Samaritans are often alluded to. And, you know, the Jews at that time had no dealings with the Samaritans and vice versa. They were very discriminatory against each other. And they had insisted that they were the direct descendants of the northern Israelite tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, who survived the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel by the Syrians in 722 BC. And so there was a schism from the remaining part of the Israel after the 12 tribes conquered and returned to the land of Canaan, led by Joshua. After Joshua's death, Eli, the priest, left the tabernacle which Moses erected in the desert and established on Mount Gerizim, and built another one under his own rule in the hills of Shiloh. Thus, you know, there was a controversy over the legitimacy of the priesthood and the legitimacy of the place of worship. And remember, that was kind of what the lady was talking to Jesus about, where they worshipped and who they were, their descendants and so on. And Jesus asked her a real simple question: where's your husband? You want to talk about all your descendants, where's your husband? And he said, the person you're now living with is not your husband. You've had five other men in your life. Well, the point about the people of Samaria and the Samaritans, there is a universal aspect of the Samaritans, all other people on the planet. Now that is, they too were born and conceived in sin, just like every other culture and group of people. The Samaritans, just like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Gentiles, which the Jews call Goyim, the Jews, the Germans, the Israelis, the Palestinians, the Arabs, the Iraqis, the Swiss people, the Swedish people, the Asiatic peoples from China and Japan, and the people from Korea, Vietnam, and Central and South America, around the world, all of them were born and conceived in sin, except one person, being Jesus Christ, of course. And so, the thing of it is, though, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, and that includes the Samaritans. They were not left out of the equation. And I think that Jesus had a special place in his heart for Samaritans, evidenced by the lady of Samaria. And also, we remember that the Good Samaritan, fella was walking down the road on a little trip and fell among thieves. Was beat up and left for dead. The religious leaders of that day walked on the other side of the road, stuck their nose up in the air, wouldn't have anything to do with them. But the Good Samaritan stopped, cleaned the traveler up, bound up his wounds, and took him to a nice hotel and paid his room and said, take care of him. Sometimes the people that are the most looked down upon in our society are the most loved by Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, he said he didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners to repentance. those who are haughty and proud, think they don't have need of a Savior, are the ones that are in the most despicable spiritual condition, dead. Now, this can be a lesson for all of us, not to look down upon the sinner, not to be haughty, not to be proud, not to even look down upon the Jews. The Bible says that the time of the Jews will come into fruition at the time the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're not to be haughty Gentiles against any group of people. God is the person in charge of eternal election. Every 4 years we have a presidential election, and every 2 years we have a general election. I guess God's in charge of that too, but as it relates to eternal election, we know God's in charge of that. He's chosen us in Him, His elect, He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We can talk about the land of Samaria. We can talk about the Samaritan people. We can talk about their history and how that, you know, the whole peril that led to the Samaritans and their eagerness for safety, and they repudiated all connection and kinship with the Jews at one time. And this was ended in a really major breach between the two groups. We see that in John 4:9. It says, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Several centuries before the common area, the Samaritans had built their own temple on Mount Gerizim to rival the temple in Jerusalem. And here they offered sacrifices according to the Mosaic Code. And what do you think the Samaritan temple was renamed? It was renamed Zeus Hellenus. And that's according to Josephus, who was a renowned historian. And in Josephus' book, chapter 5, it quotes the Samaritans as saying, quote, "We therefore beseech thee, our benefactor and savior, to give order to Apollonius, the governor of part of the country, and to Nicanor, the procurator of thy affairs, to give us no disturbances, nor to lay to our charge what the Jews are accused for, since we are aliens from their nation and from their customs. But let our temples, which at present hath no names at all, be renamed the Temple of Jupiter Hellenus." They wanted to make sure that they did not have any alliance with the Jews or their God. Shortly afterwards, according to Josephus, the Greek king sent Gerontius the Athenian to force the Jews of Israel to violate the ancestral customs and live no longer by the laws of God, and to profane the temple in Jerusalem and dedicate it to the Olympian Zeus, and the one on Mount Gerizim to Zeus, patron of strangers, as inhabitants of the later place had requested. And that's found in 2 Maccabees 6:1-2. So we see that the authority of the high priesthood was severely damaged when the first Jason and then Manilius bought their office from Antipas. And so so we see that the Samaritan temple at Mount Gerizim was destroyed in 128 having existed about 200 years, only a stone remnants of it exists today. And during the Hellenistic period, Samaria, like Judah, was largely divided between a Hellenizing faction based in Samaria and a pious faction led by the high priest and based largely around Shechem and the rural areas. Samaritans fared pretty badly under the Roman Empire because it was a part of the Roman ruled province at that time of Judea. Now, the oldest known Samaritan synagogue is called the Delos, which dates from 150 and 128 BC or earlier. There were some Samaritans in the Persian Empire where they served in an army, and many Jews had also lived in Persia for millennia after various exiles and captivities. During the Byzantine times, Eastern Roman Emperor Zeno, that was 474 to 491, sources call him the Zate, the king of Edom, persecuted the Samaritans. The emperor went to Shechem, which at that time we could call it Neapolis, and gathered the elders and asked them to convert. When they refused, Zeno had many Samaritans killed and rebuilt the synagogue to a church. So we see that the Samaritans have gone through their share of persecution down through the years as well. After the Muslims started making conquest in the areas, Samaritans were living in areas stretching between Egypt, Syria, and Iran. Samaritans were considered to be the people of the book. You know, people want to say that the Jews are people of the book. Some people even try to say that Muslims are people of the book. They use a different book. And the Jews certainly don't use the New Testament. Jews will use the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, but they have also included all other kinds of extra biblical things like the Talmud. During the Crusades, Samaritans, like the other non-Latin Christian inhabitants of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, were second-class citizens. So Samaritans suffered many hardships, which included forced conversion to Christianity and Islam, harsh religious decrees, and massacre and persecution. Now, this is according to Wikipedia, of course. Also, because of the pressures they suffered during the Islamic periods, large numbers of Samaritans converted to Islam. Until there were only five families left in all the Middle East. While the majority of the Samaritan population in Damascus was killed or converted, the remainder of the Samaritan communities from Damascus and other cities where they had a presence moved to Shechem. Much of the local Arabic population of Shechem is believed to be descended from Samaritans who converted to Islam. So we see that Samaritan woman was definitely one of God's little elect. She did not worship the false god after she was given the living water where she would never thirst again. Well, just to fast forward, in November of 2007, there were 712 Samaritans half of whom reside in their modern city at Kiriath, and the rest in Holon, which is a city just outside of Tel Aviv. So that pretty well gives you an overview of the people, of the Samaritan people. The point that we want to really emphasize is that God's people are from every tongue, every people, and every nation under the face of the earth, and that God is not any respecter of any group of people, but he has a remnant according to the election of grace. And for those who have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world, they are eternally blessed because they have been recipients of his grace, because they have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so we're going to conclude this message on the Samaritans. Father, we pray that you take this brief history of the Samaritan people and use it for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.